Hey guys, Nick here. Need to give you guys a little update about the show. If you're listening when this comes out, definitely don't skip ahead. You need to listen because there's some important stuff about where the show's going here. But first and foremost, for this particular episode, it's in that batch of recordings that got corrupted if you listened to our last episode. So if you notice any weird cuts or anything, that's probably why that happened. But more importantly, we are taking a break with the show. Life's about to get super, super busy for Mike, and I moved to North Carolina. So it just kind of made sense to take a little break, come back fresher and a little wiser and with some new ideas. So what does this mean for the show? We'll be back in maybe 6 to 8 months. Expect us back around that time. We're going to keep all the episodes that we've already got up. So if you want to go back and listen, or if you want to introduce a friend to the show, you can still do that. And we'll be sure to be letting you know on social media of about when we'll be coming back. The format will be different when we do come back. Obviously, we're going to be pretty far apart, so the show is going to sound a little different. It's going to be a little different. Might come out a little less regularly than before. I say that. It's not like we were actually regular. But it's going to be different. But on the bright side, now that we're based in two very different areas, we'll get to cover some more ecosystems and cover more of the Southeast. And that's going to be a really great thing. I'm really looking forward to that. And so is Mike. So be looking forward to bigger and better things ahead. In the case of our Patreon, payments are going to be paused until the next episode drops. So you can still subscribe and kind of keep in the loop there. But you shouldn't be charged until that point. That we get to that point, and I'll be sure to let you guys know if you do decide to subscribe. I'm going to be posting some stuff, some behind the scenes stuff, hopefully, as we're leading up to the episodes again. So if you want that inside scoop, you're welcome to come along and subscribe. But in the meantime, as we're waiting for the show to come back, as Mike and I are preparing for that, I want to challenge everybody listening to learn one new outdoor hobby. If you're new to the outdoors, you know, maybe try hiking or birding or something simple like that. If you're a pro, try something different. I'll be doing it. Mike might be doing it. He gets a pass because he's going to be crazy busy. But, you know, go for it. Keep exploring. Keep an eye on our social medias for the show and also for me and Mike. And we'll let you know when we'll be back. But just get out there. Don't stop. Keep learning. Keep going deeper. Keep becoming more wild-minded. All right, let's get into this episode.
Welcome back to the Wild Minds Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, and Nick is sitting across from me. Again, we come to you with one of our shorts on a species of animal that is native to Tennessee, and we are excited to share that with you. But before we get into that, I want to give a big shout out again to our Patreon supporters, Jeff and Abby, who have helped support the show in a financial way to help make shorts like this possible. So thank you both. If you'd like to be our Patreon sponsor, please head over to our page. Now, let's get over to our species today. Nick, what are we going to be learning about?
Today, we're looking at the spotted salamander.
And I know you're really excited to talk about this because before we started recording, you were like telling me all about this animal and just like you were getting so psyched up about talking about it. So what is the spotted salamander? Tell me about this thing.
Yeah, again, we're going through the animals that are connected to our Patreon tiers. And I set those up and I was just kind of like, oh, I'll pick a couple of random things. Let me grab a fish. Let me grab an amphibian. Let me grab a reptile. And I thought that, you know, spotted salamander, just some random salamander, you know, it's not like a hellbender or something that's like really cool. But man, these things are really cool. But to start, they're part of the mole salamander family, which just means they're the ones that like to live underground and have these really stubby noses. And other than that, they're the state amphibian of Ohio and South Carolina. So for our listeners out there, maybe you've heard of that before, or if not, you've learned a little bit about your state history. But other than that, for the most part, it's just a regular old salamander.
Okay. Okay. Well, where are they located? Where can I go out and find this spotted salamander? They're underground?
Yeah, they like to live underground, and they live pretty much where all the other salamanders live, kind of in this Appalachian region. They like forests, mature forests that are kind of preferring the old growth style stuff. But, you know, forests that have been there for a while and that have vernal pools.
A vernal pool. What is a vernal pool?
Yeah, a vernal pool is maybe you've been hiking before and you've noticed like there's a little pond somewhere. It's got a lot of activity in it. And then maybe you'll come by at another time of year and it's completely dried up. Well, that's if it happens again and again, that's considered a vernal pool. And they're really useful for amphibians because they represent a body of water where they can breed, but where fish probably can't inhabit because the water is only there for so long. So that takes away a lot of the predators that they would have had when they're in that vulnerable early stages of their life.
Okay, that makes sense. I've actually seen a lot of those while hiking before, and you know, years ago I would have just called it swampy.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so how do you spot a spotted salamander?
Well, you spot them by their spots. They've got, they're usually black or, you know, a very dark earthy color. And they'll have these yellow to orange spots going all down their backs. There's usually about two rows of them. They're not quite uniform, though. They kind of bounce back and forth like in a zigzag. But you're probably not going to see them too often because they are fossorial, which means they live underground. They really just like to hang out underground, as far as I understand. They'll come up to forage for food and also to breed when they're going and looking for those vernal pools or those ponds to breed and lay their eggs.
Are they troglodytes as well? Are they cave dwellers?
Is that what troglodyte means?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think so. That's probably the
throwback to college when we used to call everybody over at Hughes Hall troglodytes.
Awesome. No, I don't believe so. Maybe.
Okay. Cool. That's really cool. Okay. Now I know you've been excited to talk about this part because this is really what makes salamanders. This is what got you excited. So tell me about what makes a spotted salamander so cool. And hang on, if you are listening, just buckle up because Nick is going to take you on a ride here.
Yeah, I'm going to nerd out for a second here. Now, salamanders in general are pretty cool. You know, they're those cool looking amphibians. They've got the poison glands on the back of their head and, you know, they can breathe through their skin and they've got the autonomous tail so that, you know, they can detach their tail, and they're really good at the regenerating lost limbs and things like that. And yeah, spotted salamanders do all that stuff, and that's really cool and whatever. But what's really cool about spotted salamanders is they are the only vertebrate that is endosymbiotic with another organism. And what that means is they're the only organism with a backbone. So, you know, vertebrates, backbones. They're the only ones in that, what is that, the phylum?
Yeah, that'd be phylum.
That has a symbiotic relationship with another organism within its own cells.
Now explain that, because that just sounds like some, you know, science fiction theater kind of thing. So what?
Yeah, so they have this relationship with this algae, which is named after them. I want to say it's Oophila amblestoma, I think is what it is, amblestomata or something
sure.
like that, which is... basically means like egg loving, and then the name of this salamander family, or genus rather, and this algae does is it comes in two forms, but it only ever appears seemingly in the egg clusters of these spotted salamander, and nowhere else does it appear. And it comes in two forms. The first one is where it's just kind of hanging out next to the eggs and kind of between the eggs. It forms this little kind of green sheet around them that photosynthesizes. It does all the things that algae does, and it kind of trades nutrients with the salamander eggs. It gives them oxygen and maybe some sugar, and then the salamander gives it some nitrates for fertilizer and maybe some CO2 as it, you know, metabolizes the oxygen. And that's all well and good. But the other form is when it is actually found inside of the embryonic cells of the salamander eggs. So it's literally the cells of the algae are hanging out inside the cells of the salamander. Like, think about that for a second. That's so crazy. It's like an amoeba, you know, like eats other cells, but instead it just decided not to eat it. It just took it in. And what's really interesting about this algae, when it's inside of the cells, it behaves very differently. We don't know a whole lot about it because it's very hard to study an organism inside of another organism's cells. I would imagine it's very hard to do that. But what we do know from a lot of DNA analysis and things like that is when the algae is inside of the egg, it is extremely stressed. It is really having all these stress responses because being inside of another cell can be a very hostile environment, not to mention it's not getting light, so it can't photosynthesize. So instead what it does is it instead uses fermentation to create food. And so the salamander gets a little bit of benefit from that. And it's using those same nutrients from the salamander again. But what's really interesting is that even though the algae is under a lot of stress, the salamander, when it's in that situation, seems to be all hunky-dory. There's almost no change in the biology of the salamander eggs. They might lower their immune response a little bit, which means they kind of want the algae to be there. But other than that, it seems like the salamander is just fine with its algae being in there. And what's really cool is the algae just kind of sticks around even after the salamander starts to grow up. In the larvae, they've detected the algae, and even in young juveniles, and even inside of the reproductive organs of the adults of the salamanders, they've found the DNA of this algae. I don't think they found the algae itself, but there's traces of the DNA. So it almost seems like, they haven't proven it yet, but it almost seems like the two of them are moving together through the generations, where, you know, if when this salamander grows with the algae inside of its body, it grows up, and then as it reproduces, it is also reproducing the algae, or the algae is reproducing inside of it and passing it on to the next generation. And it's confusing because to a lot of people, because the algae is under that stress, which you'd think it wouldn't want to be in that situation, but it seems to be overall a pretty good deal for it because it gets to basically ride along this other organism and get to move on to it basically gets a free pass to the next generation. So evolutionarily it seems to make sense, even though it's in this really sticky situation. And again, this is a 100% unique thing among vertebrates. There's nothing else like this. So why is a spotted salamander cool? Because, you know, when you see one, you're seeing this thing that only has that situation happening in it. It's completely unique among our phylum, among all of the backboned animals on planet Earth.
So pretty boring.
I mean, yeah, I might have bored someone to tears with that, but
no, not at all. That really is wild. I mean, I did not know that would even be, you know, feasible. And so when you started talking about this and really breaking it down, it just became one of those things that it's like, man, this is a tiny little creature we have here that, you know, we can pass over so easily, but it has so much more going on that we even realize.
Yeah, and think about what studying a creature this unique might reveal about our own immune systems and how our own cells work and could even, you know, cohabitate with another cell. I mean, think about the medicinal properties that, I don't know, maybe it would amount to nothing, but the fact that this one creature has managed to pull it off must mean it's doing something very different that could be a huge benefit
absolutely
to society, but also just for its own merit is something worth protecting.
Absolutely. So speaking of protecting it, what kind of challenges does this spotted salamander face? Like what's going on with it?
Yeah, so like pretty much all amphibians, they're dealing with habitat loss right now, and there's actually some pretty serious disease moving along amphibians in North America right now. I think it affects frogs more heavily, but there's been this fungus that has been moving around, and it may affect salamanders, I'm not sure. But uniquely to the spotted salamander, because it has this relationship with the algae, it is now affected by herbicides. Because if you kill off this algae, they found that some of the spotted salamanders don't have this relationship with the algae, and for whatever reason, those ones don't fare as well. They just are not as likely to compete or survive. So when we use these, you know, herbicides willy-nilly on our yards and near our watersheds, and they get into these vernal pools and these ponds, it affects this algae, which it doesn't help the salamander to not have that symbiotic relationship there. It's also highly sought after in the pet trade. So it gets poached a lot.
That's a shame. It really is. So, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm going to ask, how can you help? And I know one easy way is to, you know, actively not participate in the pet trade, the illegal pet trade that is going on. And but what are some other ways?
Yeah. Well, and even if trading an animal is legal in your area, the way it was sourced might have been illegal. So you want to be really aware of that kind
yes,
of stuff.
And also it comes down to legality does not equal, you know, ethical.
Right. Absolutely. Some other ways, you know, cut back on the herbicides. In general, we really don't need to be using them. Yeah, okay, you don't want this plant to be here. You can maybe pull it up instead of just spraying willy-nilly. Using an herbicide is almost akin to using a flamethrower when you should have been using a sniper rifle, to use like a weapon analogy. Like,
that's a really good analogy, like, actually.
Like, you're causing a lot more issues for a lot of other people.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, when we were at the camp together, we pretty much shied away from using any herbicides whatsoever.
Yeah, we used them in one situation.
Yeah, and even then it was very sparingly.
Yeah, that was to take care of another much bigger problem that we were facing.
No kidding.
We'll get into that stuff another time. It's a story for another time. But other than that, just making sure to you know, try to preserve the habitats that this species use, and as well as others, you know, through this series of miniature episodes, we're going to talk about how to help a particular species. But in reality, helping one single species and just zeroing in on one is not going to do a whole lot, as opposed to just focusing on the habitat or the ecosystem that all of these species benefit from. It's much more beneficial and much more resource effective and efficient to focus on the habitat and the ecosystem rather than just a single species.
Yeah, and I think the spotted salamander is actually a really good example of that, to say that, you know, it's difficult to go through and say, okay, we're going to save this one particular species by doing X, Y, and Z. Well, it's hard to do that because, you know, you've got herbicides that are actually messing with this thing. Those same herbicides are going to be dealing with, you know, the bee population, like we talked about in our last episode, by killing those plants and things like that. You know, it's very hard to have a laser approach at saving animals when the brushstroke really needs to be broad, because you need to be thinking about saving the entire ecosystem in which these things live in.
Yeah. And another way to help preserve its habitat is on the micro scale. You know, maybe you're walking along and you're with your kid and they roll over a log and, oh, look at all this cool stuff under here. Well, when you roll over that log, you'll probably find that spotted salamander there. It's a nice little spot for him to hang out. Just make sure you roll it back, or even be a little more sparing with your intrusions like that when you're out and about. And this goes back to our talk about leave no trace. You want to be trying to not have a huge impact on the animals and plants around us when we're enjoying nature. And that's one way where, yeah, it would be a cool opportunity to find something really cool under that log, but also you might be messing up someone's day doing that, or even their home.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and wrap this episode up. Thank you all so much for listening. Again, if you want to check us out on our website, Facebook, or Instagram, we'd love to see you guys in those. And again, thank you to our two supporters for our Patreon. We look forward to seeing you guys for our next episode. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out our Patreon if you want to support the show. Patreon.com/wildminds. If you're listening somewhere where you can rate the show, please do that. We'd really appreciate it. Spotify is the main one that does that. Mike is on Instagram @SkylinesPeter, and I'm @WildMindNick. And you can keep exploring and keep being wild.